of living is gone. Say, oh yeah, life goes on long after the thrill of living is gone. They walk on.
Oiler fans, the sun did come up this morning. Couldn't see it though. It was a little too smoky to see it. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. As yeah, not the greatest game number three last night, but I do want to thank those at Sports on Tap for hosting the Green Zone yesterday in Saskatoon on location. Thanks to everybody who came out to the watch party. I'm not going to apologize for the Edmonton Oilers. They can do that themselves. We were hoping for a better result than 6-1 for the Florida Panthers.
Chelsea and Fred took good care of us.
Yes.
That's the place to watch sports. Because you'd sit
anywhere
at any table and you've got 1,000 televisions to look at. Fantastic venue. Good food.
So Thursday night, game number four. We'll see if the Oilers can even the score.
I see what you did there.
Each and every day, we begin the Green Zone with the starting lineup, the top sports headlines. Yeah, let's begin with game three.
Marcinkovic scores! He's got another! Rodriguez, Verhage scores! Comes loose and a chance and scores! Sam Reinhart gets it back! Sam Bennett scores!
Yes! 6-1, the Florida Panthers over the Edmonton Oilers. They take a 2-1 series lead. Brad Marchand made some history last night. He became the oldest player to score in each of the first three games of a Stanley Cup final. He was also the first one to ever score the OT winner and then open the scoring in the first minute of the following game in a Stanley Cup
final history.
Sam Bennett, he's now leading the playoffs. He got his 14th of these playoffs. Evander Kane took 155 penalties last night, or at least that's what it felt like, although the two teams combined for the most penalty minutes combined in a Stanley Cup final game since, like, the 80s. So
it was an ugly one.
It got gross last night between
the
Panthers.
If you watch any of the post-game coverage, I don't care what Paul Maurice says. That was the Panthers' plan. Going into this series, going into that game, it's still the plan. He can say whatever he wants. He's getting annoying. Paul, I'm annoyed. I've been seeing way too much of him.
You're just annoyed because he's beating your team. That's the only reason you're annoyed at Paul Maurice.
There may be a sprinkle of that, but he's also annoying.
Well, the handshake thing with Rod Brindamore.
That was just weird.
But, yeah, the Panthers dragged him into a fight that I don't think the Oilers should have any interest in being a part of.
But they tried their best. That's on the Oilers.
I think. A special shout out to boxer Jelena Marjanovic. She's from Edmonton, who offered to teach the Oilers how to fight last night during the game. She's a world champion boxer.
She can fight.
She can teach them how to fight. Not a great one. Game four, Thursday night. In Florida. We'll also have some information a little later on with another watch party coming up on Saturday with the Green Zone, the Stanley Cup final, and some Rough Rider football.
And we'll stay with the NHL. This dropped earlier today. The Rookie of the Year goes to...
Here's Hudson. And shoot, score! Lane Hudson! A rocket! Hudson shot. Score! Lane Hudson the shot! And he buries it from the blue line.
Lane, kind of over, I'd say, the last half of the season, took control of that award, and sailed away with it. He's a Montreal Canadian. He played 82 games in his rookie year. He scored only 6 goals, but he got 60 assists, 66 points. Hudson, 60 assists, matched Larry Murphy from 1980-1981 with the Kings for the most by a rookie defenseman in the NHL. While his 66 points trailed only Murphy, Leach, and Gary Sutter, okay, for the most by a rookie blue liner. And he received 165 of the 191 available votes. Flames goal. This is interesting. So Dustin Wolf, I would suggest, would have been at the beginning of the season a distant third, or maybe not even part of the conversation, worked his way into the second place in voting. And Sharks Macklin Celebrini, who I think everybody thought was going to finish first overall in the Calder voting this year, ended up in third place. So, yeah, that was sort of a fun sort of
finish
narrative storyline to watch this year of Lane.
All of them deserving of a Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
You know, to be, but it wasn't even close by the end of it that it was going to be Lane Hutson. And it's also, he's a defenseman. Like, he was doing record-breaking things as a rookie defenseman.
Which, generally,
in the National Hockey League,
it'll take, he reminds me a lot of Quinn Hughes out of Vancouver. Mm-hmm. He plays and moves the puck a lot like Quinn. So I think he's just going to get better and better, obviously, and yeah, have more and more impact with that Montreal squad.
Let's go to the Canadian Football League. The Riders were back at practice. Reinforcements being brought in, including Kadeem Carey.
When I saw this team play, man, it was an easy yes to join something going on, because I can see something going on from the outside looking in, and I just want to be a part of something great that's happening right now.
Yes, Kadeem Carey comes in, though. There is good news. A.J. Ouellette, Roland Milligan Jr., Jacob Brammer all practicing today. Ouellette and Milligan Jr. did clear concussion protocol over the last few days since Thursday's game. They look good to go against the Hamilton Tiger Cats.
That's good news.
Kadeem Carey's wearing number 29 for all those jersey aficionados out there. The bad news is Kian Schaefer-Baker not practicing. The update doesn't sound great when the coach says, you know, we're hoping to get him back this season. Oof. CJ Avery's on the 6-game injured list. So Antoine Brooks Jr. had another great training camp for the Riders. It looks like he might draw into the lineup against the Tiger Cats on Saturday, of course. So there's the Riders story. Britton Gray will be coming in with more on the Riders.
And you're a big Kadeem fan, right?
I really like Kadeem Carey. Not only as a player, he's a great player. He's a great personality, too. And whenever I've talked to him, he's been great to chat with. He's a veteran guy, so we'll see if he draws in. But he did agree to be on the practice roster. A lot of people didn't think the veteran would take that big of a pay cut, but as you said, he wants to be a part of something special.
Well, it's based on how things have been going for the Riders over the last couple of years. He'll probably get a spot sooner than later. Summer McIntosh setting another world record in swimming.
McIntosh is on fire. Head down to the wall. It is. She destroys it again.
She just proved she is the best swimmer in the world right now. 205.70, a world record for Summer McIntosh.
She just grabbed Michael Phelps' trainer as well, which is kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm not exactly sure how much he'll be able to do with her. I think she's already sort of there, but that's interesting. It'll be very, very interesting to see what kind of Olympics medals she brings back from Paris. Well, no, sorry, from...
Well, in 3 years.
In Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Yes. She won that event, the 200. She won gold in Paris at the Summer Olympics the last time around. This is her second world record this week at the Canadian Swimming Trials. She's only 18 years of age and from Toronto, and she is just absolutely destroying everybody in the pool right now.
She is. It was the summer last year. We'll see where it goes in a couple of years in L.A. Let's go to baseball. I'm calling it the play of the year. Check it out on our social media at GreenZoneSK on X. He's from Toronto. His name is Denzel Clark.
And this one to center field. Denzel Clark on the move back after he stepped towards home plate. He makes another catch.
Oh, my God. I've heard the list. I've seen the list of the greatest catches you're ever going to see in your life. If you don't have room for this one on your list, we're watching two different sports.
Oh, last night, Denzel Clark, that ball was probably about 5 to 6 feet over the fence. When it's not just he gets the glove over the fence and just robs it right at, he jumps to the top of the fence, leans back, almost falls over the fence. The way he was able to whip his arm around to get the momentum to fling him back on the right side.
So
he
goes in like this and then scoops it like this.
And he
still manages to push himself back into the field.
He's starting to get the nickname Spider-Man. He's a Canadian baseball player, plays for the Athletics. go check out that catch from last night if you haven't seen it at Green Zone SK. Of course, we'll also talk Blue Jays a little later on with Mike Wilner of the Toronto Star and Deep Left Field podcast on the Jays, but also we'll get his assessment of Denzel Clark. He saw a few great catches in his time, like way back in the day with, you know, Devon White climbing the wall in Toronto and stuff like that.
You know what it looked like to me? I watched it a couple of times. It looked like he jumped on a trampoline.
He's got hops.
Yeah.
He had to leverage himself off.
It's amazing.
I'm calling it the play of the year in sports.
You might not be wrong.
I know it's only June, but we're halfway through the year.
Put an asterisk on that one because.
When you have the New Year's Eve shows, plays of the year from 2025.
That might be on
that
there.
That should be number one right now on the plays of the year. Coming up here on the Green Zone, we'll break down an ugly night for the Edmonton Oilers. We're also asking you, would you make a goaltender switch around Sports on Tap last night? There were some musings about maybe they should go with Calvin Pickard in game number four. 1-877-332-8255 is the fan line here on the Green Zone. Also, we'll let you know how you can hang out with the Green Zone this Saturday to watch some football and some Stanley Cup final action next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Damian Locker with you here on the Green Zone on this Tuesday afternoon. We had a great time at the Watch Party Sports on Tap in Saskatoon. Highly recommend if you're heading over there in Saskatoon for games 4, 5, 6, potentially number 7.
I'll one-up you. Why are you watching sports anywhere else?
Of course, on Saturday, we're having another Watch Party, except there's a little twist to this one. It's also a game day for the Rough Riders. So, Belton, Daryl, myself, Locker's going to be there. We're going to try to bring Britton over as well. And we're going to hang out at Boston Pizza, Acre 51 location in Regina. That is out in the east end of Regina. And tomorrow, we're giving away a VIP table with a gift card for Boston Pizza, Acre 51 location in Regina this Saturday. It's going to be the Saturday, the pregame show from 3 to 5.
We're calling it the main event.
The Saturday night main event, 5 o'clock, the Rider game's on. Then Locker and I are going to talk for another hour leading into the Oiler game at 6:15-ish. We'll have both the games on. We'll have green. We'll have orange. It'll be all over the place. And then the postgame show will be live from there as well for the Rider game. And maybe it might slide into some Oilers postgame as well. On a Saturday night, live with the Green Zone in Regina, Boston Pizza, Acre 51 location is where you can find us. Tomorrow, again, we're giving away the VIP tip. Should we make them sing Pink Pony Club again, or should we come up with another idea?
We'll come up with something else. That was a horrible idea.
Hey, Derek also sang it in the bar last night. He was our winner last week.
Up in Saskatoon.
We got him to sing Pink Pony Club in the bar, and he sang it better on the radio than he did in the bar.
So I'm just being honest. We're going to give you $100 and a VIP section at Boston Pizza to hang out with the Green Zone. Not just Jamie and I, but also Britton, Belton, and Daryl as well.
Okay, let's get to the fan line. Sean, who are you starting in net if you're Chris Knobloch in game number 4 for the Oilers?
Pickard.
Why?
Marchand is in Skinner's head. Skinner is rattled. And if you don't want the game to be done or the series to be done on Saturday, you better, start Pickard.
I don't know.
Were any of those goals really Stuart Skinner's fault last night? Sean?
What's that?
Were those goals any of Stuart Skinner's fault last night? Like, really?
Well, all of them, because he let them all in.
So I guess that's one way of looking at it.
Sean, I would have hated to be your goaltender growing up in hockey.
I'll say,
sorry, that was a bad pinch, but you let the goal in. Sorry about that. 2-0 breakaway.
Yeah. I would say you want a goalie to get you one or two of those out of the six, but I don't know if I would pin all the blame on Skinner from last night. That's my thought on it.
We're going to keep the debate going Now we're truth or trash on Sean. I've always wanted to play truth or trash on Sean's opinion, so Sean, we're doing it. Sean's opinion, is it truth? Yes, start Pickard, or is it trash? Keep it with Skinner. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone on this Tuesday. Just a real quick correction on where we're watching the game. We are watching it at Boston Pizza, but it is the Acre 21. I was saying Acre 51.
You were saying Area 51.
I opt Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell and then later George Norrie, which if
so you're jealous,
if you're of a
by the
certain
way.
Vintage. I actually, when I was overnight op / newsreader in Edmonton, Alberta for a short duration, almost a year. That was a long shift.
From I loved that show.
My shift was 11 p.m. to 8 a.m. That was my shift. So I'd get to work at 11 p.m. I'd start reading the news at midnight. Art Bell, Coast to Coast AM, you might remember, west of the Rockies. And they do conspiracy theories and ghost stories, and they talk about Area 51.
Sasquatch.
The Sasquatch, the guy in northern Michigan who called in that allegedly hit the Sasquatch, and he has him body kept in a shed in the backwoods in Michigan.
Did the guy, I'm trying to remember if I heard this on Coast to Coast, but the guy that built his own spaceship?
Yeah, that guy.
Did he call in?
They just call him. Like, he was... It was a show. Is it still on? Do they have a podcast?
I wonder if it is. I can't remember what happened.
It used to be on this station a long time ago, from like, again, overnights. So they talked a lot about Area 51, and it got in my head.
Both Jamie and I are into aliens, and we have threatened Murray that one day we're going to lock the doors, and we're going to turn
the radio on at 11 p.m. when the Green Zone replay's on. And just take over and do alien talk.
Alien talk, yeah.
Maybe even a
tonight.
Few Kennedy assassination conspiracy theory podcasts.
Moon landing. Fake.
Moon leading.
Let's do it.
Memories. So I had it in my head, Area 51. No.
Can I tell a quick story about...
Second. Acre 21, Boston Pizza. Acre 21, Boston Pizza location, Regina. That's where you're finding us Saturday, 3 o'clock Green Zone pregame show. Go into the 5 o'clock kickoff of the Rider game. Then Locker and I until 6 to lead you into puck drop of Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final. We're going to force Evan Bray to give us a call from Rogers Place in Edmonton because he and his son are going to Game 5. We can erase his prediction of Oilers in 5 on the board, by the way.
Oh, I'll get rid of that, yeah.
Yeah, because that's not coming true.
Quick story. So a friend of mine calls me, he's coming into town and he goes, let's go for dinner. And I'm said, absolutely. So he gives me a time and a place. We meet and just before, like I'm heading out and my phone's like, bzz, bzz. So I look at it and it's my buddy, Brian. And he goes, I'm bringing somebody with me. He's a little different. And I'm like, okay, I didn't really think anything of it. We sit down, like I'm talking before the beers showed up. He's a flat earther. And I'm like, yes. Going to be the best night ever.
It's not a conversation I really want to have, but
oh, Jamie, no, you got to be open to those conversations. I'm like, okay, where did this start? Let's get into it.
Not right now. We're not getting into it right now. Sean from Pilot Butte just called. We're not getting into it ever. Let me be clear on the Green Zone. But Sean in Pilot Butte just called and said the Riders need to start Pickard in Game 4.
I'm here to reveal the nasty truth.
I would roast you, but my mom said I'm not allowed to burn trash.
Lie detector test determined you are telling the truth.
I'm the trash man.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
Truth or Trash Tuesday.
Okay. Truth or Trash Tuesday. 6-1 final last night. They yank the stew. After the fifth goal, Calvin Pickard comes in. There is some murmuring around Sports on Tap yesterday at our watch party that they should go with Pickard in game number 4.
It wasn't murmuring. It was loud, angry. Yes.
Even after, I think, the third or fourth goal, there were people like, get Pickard in there!
Yeah.
Pickard, 6-0 in these playoffs, by the way. That's his record. swept his four games against LA, opened the first two, and then, of course, got hurt in the second round of the playoffs. Stuart Skinner has been solid in his return. 1-877-332-8255 is the fan line. Stu or Cal, who are you going with? Let's start with Dave. Dave, what do you got? Truth or trash? Start Pickard for game four.
Mike, us at Sportsnet are laughing our faces off at you guys. You guys
Why?
Are so much fun. You're so much fun. No, Stuart Skinner. Absolutely. And the reason why is because he has proven to be the comeback goaltender. And when he comes back, he always, pardon me, he always comes back and ends up doing really well. Pickard's a great goalie, but Stuart Skinner has proven last year and this year that he could be that goaltender for the Stanley Cup.
So Dave is saying trash, Sean. He is saying trash. He's going with Stu for game number four. Today, Chris Knobloch, it was today, he was asked who he's starting in game four, and this is his quote, "We haven't decided. We'll announce that before the game."
Dave's on to something, though. When Skinner's come back from a bat like a bad game, he's generally been lights out. In the playoffs. I remember that last year, too.
He got in the first round, he got yanked. Because it was 6-5 and then 6, what was it, 6-2 or 6-1 against the LA Kings.
He has had a couple of appearances when he comes back after a bad loss, he's locked things down. And again, we talked about this, about the number of goals last night. You kind of want him to get a couple of those saves out of the six, right? He's got to be able to steal a game for you. But I don't, not all of them were his fault. Like,
well, no.
There's one, maybe one or two last night where I was like, oh,
you'd like to get that save.
Yes.
You'd like to get that save. And he's not getting that save. But when we look at, you know, their save percentages, it's pretty similar between Skinner and Pickard. Their records are very different. Stuart Skinner in these playoffs is 7-6. Calvin Pickard, as I mentioned, is 6-0. Save percentage similar. Goals against average very similar. Calvin Pickard took on the LA Kings and the Vegas Golden Knights. He has not gone up against the Florida Panthers until allowing that goal last night in relief duty. He was in net for the sixth goal by the Panthers last night.
For me, last night, because we talked about it at the end of the game, and I was like, I'd keep Skinner in, and it doesn't have anything to do with whether or not, you know, Skinner got, you know, beat up last night or anything. It was the one thing for me was the look on Pickard's face when it was obvious that he was going in. He looked terrified. And listen, I'm not suggesting he shouldn't have been, because last night was a mess, that game. So everyone was nervous. Fans were nervous. The coaches were nervous. The players were nervous. So he was a reflection of that. But for me, it was the look on his face when it was obvious that, you know, when he turned around and said, "Get my mask," and then then the camera was on him. It was like, oh, he's scared. He doesn't look comfortable right now. Whereas I don't know. Skinner, even when he's not playing well and he's getting shellacked, I get the sense that there's still confidence in his game.
1-877-332-8255 is the fan line here on the Green Zone. Jason in Odessa saying, you start Stu. He's Mr. Game 4. If he loses Game 4, then you go to Pickard for Game 5 and then, of course, beyond.
I'm 100% with Jason on that. That's exactly what I would do. He's got a short leash in that game four on Thursday.
You know, Chris has got to be thinking about it based on his answer today.
But like, you can also...
I don't think you're going to mess with the Florida Panthers here, where you start going, oh, maybe, and think that's on the opposition. That is Chris Knobloch not playing games with the Florida Panthers. That is Chris Knobloch.
Seriously.
I think clearly going, when should I do this? Do I want to be Peter DeBoer? Because if he was like Peter DeBoer, he would have came out and said, Stu's the last guy I'm worried about after tonight's game.
Mm-hmm.
And you give him a, hey, you're my guy. I think that's what he should. If it's going to be Stu in game four and he thought he should just take that question out of it. Now all the players are being asked about Stuart Skinner and, well, what do you got? And then, of course, the team players are all saying the right thing is we got to be better in front of them. And we were terrible last night for them. And we feel we gave them one. I think it will be Stuart Skinner in game number four.
Skinner's also saying the right things as well. But
Stu last night?
It was
did
awesome.
You watch his post game?
Yeah, he's awesome.
That is a pro's pro.
Yeah.
100%. I know
he'll never play for the Leafs.
If you have anybody in your family who is, you know, jumping into the limelight as a young athlete on how to conduct yourself in a not too hot situation when your team completely unravels around you and makes you look bad, watch how Stuart Skinner handled all those questions and how he answered everything last night. Pro's pro was Stuart Skinner. Austin Matthews should watch that video from Stuart Skinner on how to handle a situation like that one.
I agree. And that's also part of it. That's, I think, a big part of it is how the player responds on the day off, too, right? Mm-hmm. And in practice. But Knobloch, I mean, come on. Listen, it's not a must win situation, but in the Stanley Cup Finals right now, Edmonton has to come back in Florida and have a good showing. So if he thinks that there's even an outside chance that Pickard is the guy, he's got to consider it, right?
Truth or Trash Tuesday. Sean called in, said go with Pickard. Tyson, what do you think?
I say go with Skinner. I'm glad, Jamie, you brought up the interviews after. Skinner was the only one who stood in front of that camera and took personal accountability. I haven't seen any of their big stars doing that. When your best player is 40 years old, that's more of an issue than what your goaltender's been doing.
Well, the Florida Panthers, you see what happens when they got last change. It's Barkov against McDavid, and he owned his lunch last night. Completely owned it. Ate it. Made him watch while he ate McDavid's lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And then had McDavid make him another sandwich so he could eat that one too. Like, that's what happened last night for the Florida Panthers on Connor McDavid. Now, as much as Skinner has a bounce back, I could see McDavid dropping 5 tomorrow. Because I know what you said, that I think McDavid said the right things last night too.
I didn't have a problem with their response as well. I think that team to a man is stepping up and taking accountability. You know what? Knobloch, the questioning of the refs is a little, and the calls is a little frustrating, because to me that game was not the officiating's fault. That was the Oilers playing the wrong game. They showed up in Florida and they thought they could be.
They thought they were the Panthers.
Yeah, that's what that was, in my opinion.
And how'd that go for you? All right. 1-877-332-8255 coming up next. This day in sports history, we'll remember a couple of overtime winners that handed the Stanley Cup to a pair of teams over the last 30 years. Those big goals next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Bridge Farm remembers.
Behind that, the center for Orr! On the Orr!
Game series! Toronto has won!
The middle build! Oh, my heavens! What a goal! What a goal! The build! Oh, baby!
It's better promise me I'll be back in time.
I
gotta get back in time.
On this day in sports history, it was June the 10th, 1996, Stanley Cup Final, Florida against Colorado. It goes to triple overtime in Game 4. It was a 0-0 tie. Patrick Waugh and John Van Beesbrouck stopped a combined 118 shots until shot 119.
Didn't get it out. Sakic held it in. Still held in. Uwe Krupp shot and scored!
Yes, Uwe Krupp scores in triple overtime, a sweep of the Panthers by the Colorado Avalanche in 96, win then the Stanley Cup in 1996. That was the year the Rats became a thing with the Florida Panthers, and 30 years later, they're still doing it.
30?